Now I'm joined with Brendan Duke here. Hiya Brendan, how are you?
I'm well, Sarah, yourself?
Good, thanks. Did you have a good day here at Navan today?
Not financially, but I'm sure it was a learning experience. Like you got to learn to lose and learn from losing. That's a maxim of mine, so I'm trying to do that.
Okay, brilliant. So we're just here today to learn about you, Brendan. So you are a general punter. You like to go racing.
I do. Quite like to go racing. Yeah, that's my hobby.
Okay, and you write for Paddy Power. You write a blog for Paddy Power. So tell us about your history with Paddy Power. You were a trader with them for many years.
I was, yeah, for about 10 years. I did that. I used to do extra markets and then moved up the grades to price in the English and Irish racing. And then I just kind of got sick of it and I decided I'd take a break, and I'm still currently on a break.
Okay.
The race is keeping me amused during my break.
And tell us about your Racing Post podcast that you do.
My Racing Post, yes. So for the last couple of years with Paddy Power, they had this thing in association with the Racing Post where they would preview the weekend's race in England, and they were looking for volunteers to go in and read out the prizes. And I was the only one to volunteer, quite like to send my own voice. So I said, I'll do that. I did that, and then that went well. And then they were kind enough when I left to invite me back on in a sort of civilian capacity. And I would just, instead of calling out the prices, I would say, oh, that price is this ridiculous price, back that one. And so I do that still occasionally for them, which is enjoyable.
And your father is a well-known trainer, Brendan Duke. He's a flat trainer, is that right?
Well, dual purpose. He'd have more flat horses, though, yeah, with his Bulger hookup or what have you. They're generally flat horses.
Okay, and when you're doing your previews for Racing Post, do you like to tip up your own father's horses, or would you just try and steer clear of that?
Well, generally it's on the good Saturday stuff, and he wouldn't have that many Saturday horses. That's what they call them, Saturday horses. He wouldn't have that many. I mean, if I thought it was a fair price, I would have no problem tipping it up. Yeah.
And you bet you're looking forward to the Curra opening up. It looks magnificent anyway.
I haven't seen it. I've put in the hard graft of the last 18 months dodging the building sites and what have you. So, yeah, I think I'll be entitled. Someone was telling me there's only 8 steps, though, for the general punters. And then it goes into more corporate stuff or what have you. But,
okay.
I mean, 8 steps should be plenty. There's rarely that many people in it.
Different people I've spoken to say that it'll be like the Royal Ascot of racing when it's all finished.
Oh, really?
And ready to set up.
So. Okay, well that's high praise indeed. I've been to Ascot. The stand there is like an ocean liner. It's an incredible place. But it's a strange place. I've only ever been to Royal Ascot, and there's more people to see the Queen come into the ring than to see the runners and the Queen Anne.
Yeah.
Which as a racing fan seems a bit strange. But then also I'm not English. So I don't have the deference for the royal family either. So, yeah, it's a slightly strange place, but it's definitely somewhere worth visiting, if only for fans of grandstands. It's an incredible grandstand.
Yeah, it's magnificent when you walk in. I went for the first time last year and I was blown away by the size of it. I didn't realise it was as big as it was.
I mean, I didn't even get to see all of it because they're quite strict about access. This isn't for the like EU.
So, not for us Irish.
Yeah, well, I don't think they quite put it like that, but you need a triple barrel name, I think, to get into certain places.
Okay, so it's very fancy. So you've been around the different tracks. Have you any favourite tracks in England?
Favourite tracks in England? Well, I like Cheltenham just because of the views. It's a beautiful place to visit, and the drives into it and what have you, and you can drive in various ways, and they're all very scenic with the Cotswold stones and the mountains in the background, or the hills I suppose in the background. So yeah, I think Cheltenham, that's the one I visit the most as well. I think Cheltenham would be my
favourite. Okay, and what about in Ireland? What would be your favourite racetrack?
Oh, Leverstown.
Yeah.
Leverstown. Well, I mean, you see, proximity counts. I mean, if we've learned anything from Christa Berg and Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's that proximity counts there. So Leverstown, 20 minutes on the bus and I'm in Leverstown, and I might get to see a classic winner make his debut. Irish racing fans are so lucky, really, both National Hunt and flat racing, that the quality of horses you can see, in that case 20 minutes away, even if I'm anywhere in and around Dublin. I mean, even here it's 45 minutes away from me. So, very lucky, really. For someone like me who likes to keep it relatively close to home, I wouldn't be I wouldn't necessarily be a great traveller. Very lucky to have the access to the quality horses we have.
Okay, and let's just touch back on your father. So what has been one of your father's biggest successes in his career?
Well, his biggest day ever was in, do you know that day, it's on Arc Day in Tipperary, the McManus Day. So I wasn't there now, I was at the Arc, I think 2006, Deep Impact didn't win, sad. But these things happen. But he had two horses running that day, one in a two-year-old who had never, he'd never won a race. I don't think he won a race after. My dad's quite quixotic. He doesn't mind taking a chance and running in a race that you wouldn't necessarily think the horse should be in. And basically ran this horse, and it was desperate ground. There were six runners, and only one of them handled the ground. It was his. And that won, and that was listed. And then there was a grade three chase, a horse, probably the best horse he ever had was Open Eyed. He was a great servant too. He was second in the Kim Muir at Cheltenham as well. And he won the grade three novice chase on the day. So that was an incredible day for a small yard to win two graded races. Very impressive.
Brilliant. And he was an assistant for Jim Bolger. Is that how he started off years ago?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Well, he had a few mares. He always had a few mares. His dad was a stockman. And they always had a few horses around the place, what have you. And then he got to know Bolger relatively early on in his career, late 70s, early 80s. And then he went to work from, I think, around early 90s. So it did his apprenticeship and then struck out on his own.
Brilliant. And he's doing well. How many horses has he got stabled up at the moment?
Well, I think between the two-year-olds that are just coming down, they come down in stages or what have you. I think he's about 20 in. So enough to keep him going.
Yeah. Okay, so let's touch on the horse racing industry. How do you feel it is? Like, when you're in the betting ring, you come racing quite a bit. Do you think the game in the betting ring in particular is a dying breed?
Well, yeah. I mean, it is. You only have to look at the figures to see that it is. It's a curious thing, really, because for the longest time, I was coming racing and I was just betting on my phone. And then I was backing a favourite one day, or maybe it was a second favourite, and someone said to me, you should back that in the ring, because it's an incredible thing. I mean, punters are a funny breed. So when I was in Paddy Power, I think 80% of Paddy Power customers only had a Paddy Power account. So they're not necessarily, whilst they might go compare for their insurance or what have you, they're not necessarily price conscious when they're backing horses. But, like, most punters back on the show, like, again, I think I can't remember the figures, but I think it's about 75%, and again, something like 75-80% back out of the favourite or second favourite. Now, if you want to do that, you should come to the races, because they're matching the exchange with no commission on the favourite. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily something they want people to know about, because whether it's a sustainable business model, I don't know. They have to go and pay staff and lug all their screens around and what have you, and then bet horses to 100%. I'm not sure if it's necessarily a sustainable business model, but it's a great experience to compared to, say, going to the betting shop. You go and you have a bet with the lads, and they might chat to you before race, because they kind of get to know you. If you're semi-regular like me, they kind of get to know you, and they say, what do you think about this horse? And you can chat away with them. And then I was in Nace during the summer, and I think it's Dara Fitzpatrick, but that'd be right, it's the last pitch on the rail. So I went up to the lad who was, I don't think it was Dara himself, the lad was representing him, and he was 6-1. And I think I asked him for 150 over 100 at 6-1. And I got the docket back and I walked away, and I'm 5-1 on the docket. Now, in fairness, the 6-1 was a standout price. Everyone else was 5-1. So I knew what had happened. The machines weren't talking to one another. So I just went back to him and said, look, obviously this is only supposed to be 5-1, but it was shown 6-1 on the board. Do you want to just cancel the bet? And he said, no, I'll lay you the 6-1. So I mean, that's an incredible customer experience. So I would say to people, I would encourage them to come racing, because it's a good day out. I mean, you will not get better value if you're betting on the show and you like to bet the fancied horses. So it's dying, but I don't really know. Well, maybe it's dying because, like me, because people just don't know. Because yeah. I mean, I wasn't betting in the ring for years and years, and now certainly if I'm not backing an outsider, I'll bet in the ring. Something about cash as well. I quite like
cash is king.
Yes. I quite like the feel of readies in my hands.
So, by the sounds of it, you should have been a bookmaker in your previous life.
Well, maybe in my previous life when they were betting to 3% and 4% a runner, but I wouldn't like to be making a book now, Sarah, to be honest with you. I think it's a tough game to be in.
What are your betting techniques? So when you're coming racing, do you study the night before? Do you back early morning prices? Have you got a particular betting technique?
I tend to do a lot of my betting maybe with inexperienced horses, maidens or whatever, horses that have only had a couple of runs, because I do find, obviously looked at the night before, and watching videos is the most important thing, because I don't know about you, but when I watch a race, I only have eyes for the horse I've backed. I have no holistic sense of what's going on, and I'm only looking at that horse. So what I need to do then is look at the video after I go home, or a few days later, or what have you, to get a real sense of what happened in the race. So looking at the videos, I'll have the form in my head, and then I kind of fancy myself as a paddock judge. So James Willoughby would describe this as the dark arts or black arts or what have you. He doesn't have any faith in it. And it might be a vanity thing because I've been going racing for so long or what have you. And I think, oh yeah, no, I can assess a horse's welfare in the ring. But maybe if I see, you know, this, he's narrow, you've sort of narrowed the race down to three or four, to two of them, maybe one doesn't look well in its coat, one's sweating up, one's on its toes or what have you. That gives me more confidence to back maybe the one I was thinking about anyway. So it's a combination of the two. But I do quite like to come to the races and assess the horse beforehand, yeah.
So it's a bit of superstition, I suppose you could say as
well. Well, I would like to think there's a bit more craft in it than that, but James Willoughby would definitely agree with you. He would definitely agree with you. And there might be something in that. It could be a vanity project. I'll grant you that.
Okay, so just before we go, I'm going to ask you a question, right? Mm. If you could bring any three people, past or present, to dinner, who would they be?
Okay, I would bring Tiger Woods, because just an incredible fella. I would bring Kieran Fallon, who's my favourite jockey of all time, and once gave me a lift home, so I could repay him for the lift home by buying him his dinner. So that's two, and a third one, I think I'd probably bring Audrey Hepburn. She had an interest in life, beautiful woman as well. So that's, you know, you like to glam these things.
Yeah, she could add the glamour to the evening.
Her could bring the glamour to the evening. Yeah, so there's your three ball.
That's a great choice. Okay, and finally, you have been on Countdown, am I right?
Oh, yes, twice.
Tell us about Countdown.
Well, Countdown, basically, so it's a bit like a vampire chronicle. Every 10 years, I go back on Countdown. So I was on in 2005 and I lost by a point. The paddock judges, there's no way they would have backed me because I sweated up. Something about those lights there, they just stare into a man's soul. So I lost by a point and I probably should have won, but things just got on top of me. So then I went back in 2015. And unfortunately, I got a terrible draw. I was drawn in the car park in Chester. The guy who won, he didn't ultimately win the series. He was the best player in that series, but he got beaten by this guy through a complete Hail Mary. He was winning by 11 points, and the last letters round, this guy went for outbraved. How is that a word? Well, outbraved is a word, and beat him. But he's a brilliant player, and he was too good for me. But you get to go back on every 10 years. So in 2025, I shall rise again, and I will win. This is it. I don't know what I'll win. Maybe I'll just constantly lose, but it gives me something to live for. So 2025, hopefully, I will win, I think, and then I can die a happy man.
That's it. Okay, so if anyone wants to follow you, you write a Paddy Power column. You're on Racing Post podcasts previews. And you're on Twitter, available on Twitter.
Available on Twitter. I throw a lot of stuff at the wall on Twitter. So.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us today. And I wish you all the success for your punting days ahead.
Not at all, Sarah. That was relatively painless. Thank you.
Download the Star Sports app from the App Store or Google Play. All of the Star Sports markets, including in-play, all easily accessible from your phone or tablet. BeGambleAware.org. Over 18 only.